Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
On Tuesday, the 22nd of November, 2022, workers called a national day of action after wage negotiations in government came to a halt. So we wanted to understand what the situation is. Earlier this morning, Lindy was telling us in the news that there were some people turned away from healthcare at Baragwanath Hospital. And of course, South African medical system, especially in public health, is really not coping, unfortunately, very well as it is. So what is the situation there? Russell Rensburg, he's the director of RHAP. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing today?
Grateful and hopeful.
Grateful and hopeful. I think there's a South African proverb, isn't it? How are you doing? Grateful but hopeful. Right, exactly. We recognize what we have, but we also recognize what we need. So what is the latest situation in terms of the strike?
Look, I think the strategy and tactics of the unions in this strike has been very different from others. You know, so yesterday I think they launched off with a 1 day of action.
Mm-hmm.
And we expected we'd probably go back to work today. But given that they are so far apart from the employer, you know, we're anticipating that, you know, the strike could probably take the shape of previous strikes. And I think that's why we issued the call, that one of the things that maybe the party should look at is negotiating some kind of minimum service level agreement to ensure that essential services are maintained during strike action.
Well, so let's just understand that, because surely they are essential workers. Are they able, are they legally allowed to go on strike?
Well, technically, that was the position taken by the minister in 2011 when we first started these conversations, was that he viewed healthcare workers as essential workers, right? But he never, and similar to ESCOM, so they can't go on strike, but there's a broad category of healthcare workers. You know, so it's from clerks to porters to cleaners to nurses to nursing assistants, and it's not clear which of those categories are essential workers, and any of those categories can really disrupt healthcare services. So the lack of clarity and the lack of some kind of agreement on how to deal with it is what leads to it. You know, so you saw yesterday at Barra, you know, there were some barricades. Mm. People weren't allowed to go into the hospital for parts of the day. And, yeah, you know, and I think we want to avoid situations like that by having a clear agreement as to what is the status of healthcare services, should there be a strike. So if the cleaners go on strike, they can't operate because they'll be cleaning the theatres, or the porters are on strike. You know, the hospital can't function. You know, so all the workers within the health system are healthcare workers, and we need like a better deliberation on that.
Well, didn't we have that during the COVID pandemic when essential workers were not subject to lockdown? So if you were determined to be an essential worker, you had a letter that allowed you to be on the roads or to be going wherever you need to go because you were. So if you were able to leave your home during lockdown because you're an essential worker, well, that should be a little bit of an indication as to who is and who isn't.
Exactly, you know, so now I think that's one of the, you know, the indirect benefits of the and definitional issues. And I think we can certainly use that as we go into these conversations now on what is an essential worker and how do we actually negotiate these processes to ensure that essential healthcare services are maintained during strike action. We haven't had a note on that yet. And that's why I think we've called on the unions and government to come together and have a conversation to make sure that should it go that way, that they know exactly how they can handle essential services like healthcare.
Right. What is the position with healthcare workers? Obviously, their right to strike is part of an employment approach in general. If they have grievances, there should be a way in which they can be addressed. But what is the, how well or how badly is the sector of our of our economy treated?
Look, I think we work under difficult conditions. You know, we haven't really had any major increases in healthcare workers since 2012. You know, on average, we absorb very few new workers into the system every year. Right? So I think facilities are understaffed. We've had poor maintenance of facilities. We've had some poor decisions around infrastructure. So, look, I think there's no argument that the situation that healthcare workers find themselves in on a day-to-day basis can be very, very challenging, depending on where they are. You know, So I'm not really a party to the strike, so I wouldn't really want to be able to express myself
to the specific grievances, right?
Yeah, specific grievances. But I do also, you know, have to appreciate that just as much as healthcare workers and all workers have the right to strike, I think constitutionally we must also be mindful that patients have the right to access healthcare services. And I think part of what we want some negotiation and agreement on is that these two rights don't clash, and that through any process like that, the patient's right to access healthcare services is put at the center of all negotiations.
Yeah, absolutely right. And is this being properly addressed? Or are we, just because we're in the thick of it at the moment, there's other issues that they're rather dealing with?
Look, I think we've kicked the can down the road on this for a long time. I think we need some clear leadership on the overall future of our healthcare service. I think healthcare costs are increasing at a massive rate. I think healthcare systems are in need of management. And I think one of the things that we've spoken about is that there are generally three different levers that you can pull to make the health system function better. Right? The first of those is really to look at the health information. So what are the kinds of things that are coming through our system?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how are we dealing in maternal and child health? How are we dealing on infectious diseases? How are we dealing on NCDs? And what is our response relative to the data? And then sort of transition to what we call a data-driven decision-making at a health system. So we send the money where the biggest need is. The second component is really to look at our HR. And when we talk about HR, we have like 500,000 healthcare workers in the public health system, but the distribution is not great, right? So one of the things that the leaders need to do is to see how do we better distribute the healthcare capacity that we do have so that we meet the needs of patients. And that requires difficult conversations. And I think the last component is really just to look at the finances. Right? How can we utilize this 250 billion rand that's allocated to publicly funded healthcare services better to ensure that those, especially with that, those with the least access, the older people, young people, people in rural areas in our instance, are prioritized? Because we can't have like universal health coverage. 80% of our population can't access basic healthcare services. So I think especially now when we don't have agreement on money, we need to figure out how do we ensure that the overall system performs towards the needs of the people that use it. And I think that requires leadership.
Absolutely. That is unfortunately all we have time for, but it is a very, very important conversation and a very important one to resolve in one form or another so that there is clarity and that we can best find the way forward. Russell Rensburg, Director of Rural Health Advocacy Project, RHAP, talking to us about the strike.